Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Rory McShane joins us. He's the CEO of McShane LLC, a Republican consulting firm, here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Nevada Newsmaker Studio is located at the headquarters of the Nevada Trucking Association. Motion and purpose are a truck's greatest virtue.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome back to the program Rory McShane. He is the CEO of McShane LLC, a political consulting firm. And Rory, your business has just exploded over the last couple of years. Why is your business exploding?
Sure. Sam, that's a great question. Thank you for having me back. In my industry, it tends to be dominated by two types of agencies. And one is the super agency, 150 people, hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue. And when a client signs up with that type of agency, while that agency has a lot of resources to bring to bear for the client, you're typically not going to get, unless you're spending tens of millions of dollars, you're typically not going to get the attention of one of the principals of the agency, which are really the core strategists who founded the business. Compared to the second largest part of the industry is the solo operators, right? The 1-3 man operations. And they may know your district very well, and they may care about your campaign a lot, but they have no resources to bring to bear for you because they're not willing to sustain or not able to sustain a large payroll, right? And we operate in a middle space that is extremely rare, right? Where we're, as of this week, we're 16 people. We have offices in Las Vegas, Austin, Texas, where I am, in Washington, D.C. And we're small enough that I know what's happening on every single congressional race every single day. But we're large enough that if your opponent launches an attack ad in the middle of the night, I don't have to call a subcontractor. I walk over to our video editing bay and I say, hey guys, let's get the response ad up on the screen and walk through it. And I think it's a model that isn't offered much, and there's some people who really yearn for it.
Somebody said to me about 20 years ago, the political consultancy in Nevada was pretty naive back then. Has that changed in 2021?
Well, you've got some really great, especially on the Republican side, and even though they're competitors of mine, they're guys I think are very talented guys like Ryan Irwin and his group at Red Rock Strategies. So I think that as Nevada has become a focus, especially a presidential focus, it's drawn in better and more talented consultants. I mean, I think you also have a group of consultants who don't do a very good job. And typically you can tell those people because they're people who don't work outside the state, all their businesses, Nevada. But I do think there are some really good players in this state. And like I said, some of them are competitors of mine, but they're guys I could look at and say, wow, that's a very talented strategist.
Let's talk about the Senate race right off the bat, because with a 50-50 split in the United States Senate, every race in the Senate is incredibly important, and Catherine Cortez Masto is up this year. It was interesting, I read this morning in the Reno Gazette Journal an opinion piece from the chief of police of Reno endorsing, not politically, but her actions and the bills that she has sponsored, Catherine Cortez Masto. I thought that was real interesting.
Sure. I mean, the people behind Catherine are smart, right? And they understand that the whole defund the police movement, the anti-law enforcement movement, the Chaz autonomous zone, we're going to eat vegan tofu and we don't need law enforcement movement has been incredibly painful, incredibly unsuccessful for the Democrats. It's a big part of why you saw the defeat they suffered in Virginia and almost defeat in New Jersey. And Masto's people have figured out if we don't do something to drastically change direction from what the Democratic Party is heading down, we're going to lose, right? Having said that, I think there's a good chance they lose anyways. I mean, right now, generic ballot has Republicans up 10 points. Republicans have not had that large of a ballot advantage since 2009. It's larger than the ballot advantage Republicans had when they swept in 1984.
All right. So you're looking at, are you talking about 2014?
I'm saying right now, polling has generic Republican ballot ahead by 10 points.
Right.
The last time Republicans had that large of a lead in generic ballot was 2009, before the 2010 red wave.
Okay. All right. So, but the real big sweep in Nevada, of course, was 2014, where everything changed over to the Republican side. Do you get the sense, because of the registration, that is possible, if not likely, to occur? Because we're still a year out, so, you know, whatever generic ballots you're doing at this point, things can change in a year. But what do you think today?
Sure. You know, Sam, it's a great question. And I do think it's possible. And I would go further than possible. I would say it's likely. And I'd say that because at no point have you seen the Biden administration change tact, right? At no point have they said maybe hyperinflation and super wokeness is not a good idea. Right. Maybe telling their parents that, you know, they don't have a say in their children's education is not a good strategy here. We're going to shift focus back to the old blue collar union democratic model that had brought us success. Right. And unless the Democrats shift focus and do it quickly, I think it's going to be a very bad election year for them. But there seems to be no intelligentsia left in the Democratic Party capable of doing that. I think they've all truthfully been drummed out of the Democratic Party because they don't fit the woke ideology.
All right. But Joe Biden, you know, if you look historically, he's more of a centrist than he's being portrayed at this point in time. And you're right, the party has shifted to the left and it needs to be drugged back to the middle to be competitive. But does it have to wait until after the primaries to do that on a national basis?
Well, I mean, Joe Biden, while I agree with you, I mean, he was elected as and came up as a steel town Democrat. He's not governing one now, I think. I mean, I think Vice President Harris has a huge amount of influence in the administration. She's a very progressive Democrat, always has been. I think that if the Democrats do not reverse course now, then they are in for a 1980 type defeat.
Okay, so how do you define reversing course? What areas are Democrats able to reverse him without ripping apart their party?
Sure. Well, I mean, just look at the massive amount of union membership which now votes Republican, right? We have reached this apex in America where I think it is fair to say that when polled, working middle class voters no longer feel like the Democratic Party is an apt representation of their values, their hopes, their beliefs, and their dreams, right? And the Democratic Party was built on working class people. And unless they're able to so vastly reverse course that they recapture those voters, I don't think you can build a large enough coalition of pink man buns and, you know, and Starbucks drinkers to win elections when you've lost the working class.
All right. So as always, the youth is an important vote, but it's very difficult to get them out. That creates a conundrum for both Republicans and Democrats, does it not?
I think that... I'm just going to disagree with your key premise. The youth is an important vote, right? I mean, I don't, you know,
if they come out and vote, it is.
Sure. But I don't think, sure, I will agree with that statement, but the youth was fired up to go vote for Barack Obama. Right. So they came out and voted. But I don't think that they're going to be fired up to come defend the Joe Biden presidency any more than they were fired up to defend, you know, Terry McAuliffe in Virginia. Right. I don't think there's a candidate on the ballot right now that's going to make your, you know, your 18 to 24 voter, you know, charge off campus there and cast a ballot. I mean, a youth vote is all about enthusiasm, right? And I mean, generally Democrats lack, you know, are behind the enthusiasm gap right now. And I don't see any candidate that's, you know, I mean, maybe if Bernie Sanders were on the ballot, this would be different, but that's not the case.
What we saw in Virginia, as you well know, was that the Republicans won because they weren't looking to the past, recent or otherwise, they were looking to issues to move forward. Is that the path that Republicans and, you know, Democrats should be taking? Is it's not about yesterday, it's about today and tomorrow.
Well, I'm gonna take a little bit of exception with what you just said, Sam.
Oh, you can 100% disagree with me. It's fine.
Well, you know me. I'm always so nervous to do it. It wasn't. I don't even think it was so much the future. I think it was there's something very, very wrong in our Commonwealth. Critical race theory, transgendered bathrooms in public schools, right? I mean, you look at Loudoun County, Glenn Youngkin got 44% in Loudoun County. You know, Republicans have struggled to win Loudoun County for the last 10 years. Arguably, achieving that percentage in Loudoun County is what allowed him to win statewide. And Loudoun County was the epicenter of the school protests, the school board protests, all of that sort of stuff. So it was much more a rebuke of the woke culture, and kudos to Glenn Youngkin and his campaign team for not being for not listening to these, you know, milquetoast moderate Republicans who say, you know, oh, well, the only thing you can talk about is the tax code, or else you'll scare off the suburban voters who don't know what they're talking about. You know, Glenn Youngkin's people and his campaign team are very good friends of mine. They got into the data and they found these key issues that really, really upset suburban voters. And shocker here, when you screw with their kids, suburban voters get upset. And Glenn Youngkin had the courage to stand with them and say there's something very, very wrong in our Commonwealth, and you elect me governor, I'm going to put a stop to it day one. And that's what it did. That's what elected him. It wasn't, you know, Glenn's 3-point plan for Virginia roads improvement.
In Nevada, you have issues with the two major school districts that are not based on any kind of woke culture arguments. Okay, well, and that's fine, but I'm still going to make my point here, which is that the Clark County School District, the board is just in complete disarray. It's lunacy that what is going on there. We're losing the superintendent up in Washoe County, another one out the door, and all kinds of fights over how many sick days. You know, is it really worth $80,000 worth of sick days? You know, we should really look at some of these things when people get their contracts signed, but. Do you see education being a leading issue in Nevada as well? Because I don't know, to me, education is the biggest issue in any group that you talk to.
Sure. Yes, for one, I do. But, you know, I mean, Nevada is consistently one of the worst educated states in the country, right? I mean, our public school system is always in the bottom five. Our percentage of students who leave high school and go to college is the lowest in the Western United States. So education is absolutely going to be a clear issue, but I'm going to push back on your, well, our educational problems don't have anything to do with the woke ideology. When Clark County enforced the vaccine mandate, something like 18% of teachers quit, right? I forget the exact number, but it was a sizable percentage of teachers in a school system where the classroom sizes are huge, the teachers are overburdened, the students aren't getting enough individual attention, especially the students in the poorer areas, right? So this woke ideology further compounded and impacted that problem.
Okay, so you consider being pro-vaccination to be part of the woke culture, is that correct?
No, I do not. I'm a vaccinated individual. I think it was a smart decision to get vaccinated. I think being pro-vaccine mandate is being part of the woke culture.
Okay. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with Rory McShane. We're going to get him fired up if we can do anything on this program. We'll be right back. I'm here at the Carson Valley Inn in Minden with Joey Whitaker. Entertainment here at the Carson Valley Inn is extraordinary.
Yeah, super proud of the TJ's Corral, our outdoor venue, about 1,500 seats. We've had first-class entertainment out there. We've had Merle Haggard. We've had Chris Young. We've had Lee Bryce a couple times. We've had Pat Benatar, Joan Jett, who's in the Hall of Fame. We're real proud out there, and it's just a great time. Watch CarsonValleyInn.com and grab those tickets early. It's not a long way to get away to the Carson Valley Inn.
Before the masks, before the distancing, before the world changed, UMC was ready. Our response to COVID-19 began before the crisis did, with our own team of infectious disease experts who've spent their careers planning for this moment. With a pandemic response plan we'd practiced again and again, and by blazing new trails in large-scale testing, including every patient we admit. Always ready. UMC.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
It comes from Washington. Darkness spreading across America. Radical socialists are destroying our country and communities. But John Lee switched parties to stop them, fighting for conservative values like Reagan and Trump. As a principled conservative, John Lee's proudly pro-life. As NRA Legislator of the Year, John Lee fearlessly defends our gun rights. And as governor, John Lee will stop the left and keep Nevada's future bright.
Let's ride.
John Lee for governor.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Rory McShane. He is the CEO of McShane LLC. He is a Republican consultant and has a lot of business across the country redistricting in Nevada. Does this help you or hurt you? And I'm presuming it hurts you a little.
It's a great question. It's made the seats, you know, we basically have three wave year seats, right, that we can pick up in really, really good years, but then they're going to be tough to defend in off years. I would agree with your assessment. It is nominally unhelpful, but I think they're still winnable in good years.
All right. And for the state itself, we've got a governor's race. This governor, you talk to a lot of business people, even conservative business people that supported him because the choices pointed to him to be the one to have. How do you see the governor's race shaking out? Are there too many candidates on the Republican side, or is that going to work itself out?
That's going to work itself out. Primaries always do. I think that Steve Sisolak is not going to be a second term governor because you said it exactly correctly. Steve Sisolak got elected as a business friendly Democrat, as a guy who'd, you know, been friendly to the Southern Nevada, you know, business leader group of business leaders. And he's completely betrayed them, right? He's shut down their businesses. He's enforced mandates. He's killed small businesses, right? The casinos have seen record revenues because they've been allowed to operate by and large. But the guy with a small sandwich shop or whatever the case may be, he's shut down. He can't pay his rent. He can't pay his landlord. The landlord can't pay his mortgage. He's really decimated our economy, doing so by infringing on the individual rights of small business owners.
Do you think that the casino industry is not going to back him, and that there is potentially somebody else looming in the wings? I'm not going to say any names, but there is certainly a prominent person who's being whispered about who could come in and challenge him in a primary. Do you think that's going to happen, or do you think gaming is going to stick with Sisolak? Because you look back at Jim Gibbons and Brian Sandoval, and Jim Gibbons was given clear notice that we're not funding you.
Yeah. I think that it is very likely the gaming industry will back the Republican nominee. And obviously they're not going to back them until data shows that it's a winnable race, right? And, you know, like any other access donor, right, they're only going to donate once they're donating on more of a sure thing. But I think with the polling where it stands, I think whoever the Republican nominee ends up being, they're going to have a ballot advantage. They're going to have a head-to-head advantage against Sisolak. And I think once that first poll comes out post-primary, you'll start seeing a lot of gaming money flow to the Republican nominee.
All right, let's talk about inflation. It's very interesting because, you know, and for all of us that did terrible in school, but lived through these life-changing experiences like a pandemic, like the Great Recession, we get an economics lesson as part of that that no teacher could have ever have taught us. And, you know, if you look at the current situation with inflation, you can see how it led up to it. Because you had this tremendous amount of money being dumped into the economy to save the country, starting under the Trump administration, continued into the Biden administration, but whoever's president at the time takes the heat. So if Trump had been president right now, he'd be taking the heat for inflation, Biden the same thing. But would the smart decision would have been to have not put this money into the economy? That's the big question, but how does that play out in 30-second sound bites?
So that's a lot of questions to answer packed into one there, but I swear we had almost the same conversation probably exactly a year ago. And I said, yes, we should not be putting this money into the economy. We're going to see, you know, a huge inflationary increase. And lo and behold, shocker here, when you put more money into the economy, you devalue the currency. We are on the train to be Robert Mugabe's Zimbabwe. Actually, I remember we did have this conversation a year ago because I referenced Robert Mugabe and you said, it's so rare that someone comes on the show and references Robert Mugabe. So a year and a half ago, I said, we are on the train to become Robert Mugabe's Zimbabwe with $2 billion bread loaves. And we have moved 10% of the way there in that time, right? I mean, we of course shouldn't have put the money in the economy. The American economy is the most powerful one in the world. The American entrepreneur and enterprise is the most powerful one ever seen. Had the government not interfered in the economy, none of this money would have been necessary.
The other side of it is that, I think, and I could be 1,000% wrong, that things will flatten out as the supply chain issues correct themselves. And it may take a couple of years to do that, but I think we are on the way to that correction. And the danger is for politicians who are scared of not getting reelected to make mistakes in what they do. Let's take another break and we'll be right back after this timeout.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and Twitter, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Events Center in Las Vegas. Host meetings and events on 2 floors. Stay in luxurious rooms and suites. Unlimited branding opportunities. Regional Italian cuisine by Chef Mark Segrisi. Flexible event spaces. Full buyout options. Visit ahernhotel.com today.
I'm Jeff Gehrman, an investigative reporter with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm your guide for season 2 of Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas.
You're in with every gangster and hoodlum in the United States.
I don't go for that, Mr. Kennedy. I don't go for that kind of action.
I was on television accused of fronting for the mob.
Subscribe to Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas, Season 2, today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Penny, Dad? What are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and YouTube. Powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Rory McShane. He's the CEO of McShane LLC. Immigration. Are we going to see an immigration policy change because of the fact that we need workers in this country and a lot of people are not going back to work? What are we going to do?
That would be such a ridiculous, insane policy. So we're going to support a larger percentage of people on the government dole by opening the floodgates to first generation unskilled labor. That policy would have such disastrous economic effects. It would be absolutely insane. Most often and most importantly, because you're putting a larger amount of people on the government dole, and we saw in Greece, right? Once that percentage of economic contributors versus non-contributors reaches a certain tipping point, everything collapses. So saying that, you know, we're going to make it okay for people to not return to work by continuing unemployment programs and stuff like that, and we're just going to backfill those jobs with, you know, first generation immigrant labor would be a disastrous economic policy.
And that's where we have to leave it. Well, what a great starting point for our next conversation. Rory McShane, always a pleasure, sir.
Sam, great talking to you. Thank you for having me.
All right, and we'll be right back. Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
ProGroup Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. ProGroup Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. You can do that now these days. We'll see you on the next broadcast.